Jesus said,
let not your heart be troubled.
You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. He says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Good evening, church. Title of tonight's lesson is The Souls of Our Children. Oh, somebody's excited about this. He's like, yeah, bring it. Souls of our children. The reason why I thought about this lesson is because I've been seeing a lot of little ones running around the church building lately, a lot more, and it's a good thing to see. I love seeing that little young fellowship developing early, and it's a good thing to see. But also, I've been seeing some real crazy stuff going on there concerning our kids. And just in case you didn't know, there are forces out there that are after the souls of our children. In Proverbs 22:6, the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, let's see if we can get two words in this verse to leap out at us, and we'll circle back to it. Train and should. Kind of hold that in your mind, and we'll come back to that. Excuse me. As parents, we need to be aware of what's going on out there in the world and what our kids are being exposed to. From drag queen story time to forced or kids being manipulated into transitioning behind the parents' back. There's also a lot of child trafficking going on, and you would be surprised to learn just who is actually involved in that. So we need to be raising our antenna up a little bit when it comes to our kids. So the Bible instructs us to train up our children, but there's a difference between teaching and training. So let's talk about teaching for a minute. Teaching imparts knowledge and understanding to develop mental capacity. It's usually done over a long period of time, and it is important to actually teach our kids also. Let's take a little trip over to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Let's take a look at some teaching that was being done back then. The stuff I'm going to talk about when it comes to teaching are core value. Deuteronomy chapter 6. I'll start reading at verse 1 and work my way down to 9. I may skip a few verses. This says, verse 1, now this is the commandment, and these are the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded to teach you, that you may observe them in the land which you are crossing over to possess. This is right after the Exodus in Egypt. Verse 2, that you may fear the Lord your God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I have commanded you, you and your son, and your grandson, all the days of your life, that your days may be prolonged. Let's drop down to verse 4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall, here's the core stuff we're talking about now. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates. So there's a couple of things there we want to pull out of those verses of scripture. One, it's telling us not just to teach, it's telling us what to teach, that core stuff. Telling them you need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your might. This is what we need to teach our kids. This is the core value stuff that needs to be instilled in them. It also tells us to teach consistently and constantly. You guys following? Consistency means what? The same thing. Don't change the message. These core values are not to be messed with. We got to keep that in front of our kids. And the consistent things, what you read, does this sound like consistent to you? When you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, when you rise up, does that sound like consistency to you? So this is not a light thing that we are to do when we're teaching our kids. And there's one more thing that we want to extract out of that. It's taught through generations. We're going to revisit that a little bit more. In Exodus chapter 13, the parents are instructed to explain to their kids the mighty acts of God to ensure they understand his power and his faithfulness. So back then when they were brought out of Egypt, they are to keep this, what God has done for them, ever present in front of their kids. Let's go to Psalms 78. We'll look at verses 1 through 7. Verse 1 says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known, and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, telling to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and his strength and his wonderful works. He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a new law in Israel, which he commanded the fathers." Now listen carefully. "They shall make them known to their children, that generation to come that might know them, the children who would be born, that they might arise and declare them to the children, that they may set their hope in God." So we are to teach our kids' kids, and the kids yet to be born. So those of us who are grandparents and maybe thinking that your job was done, newsflash, you're not finished. You're not finished. Those who are thinking about that, there's no tapping out here. Now, there are ways to, as grandparents, that we can support the parents raising up their grandchildren. There are ways to do that. But I'll revisit that. So this concept of teaching our children isn't new. So what do we teach our kids today? Deuteronomy was talking about, in the Old Testament, those core values of love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. But what do we teach them today? That hasn't gone away. We still do that. But there are some New Testament core values also that we need to teach our kids, along with the basic stuff, you know, from toddler to through high school and beyond. There's the basic things, but let me ask you a question. How much of that stuff is spiritual? When we start out teaching our kids, and their little toddler, like little James back there, how much of what we teach them is spiritual? Just a question. Now, we could be here all night talking about a lot of things we could teach our kids, but we'll just zero in on a couple of New Testament core values. Let's go over to Philippians chapter 4. In Philippians, I know you guys are very familiar with these verses of Scripture, but these are some of the core values that we need to teach our kids. These are some of the things we want to keep ever present in front of them. Philippians 4, I'll start reading at verse 4. It says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Focus on that. Hold that in your mind for a second. Verse 7, "And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus." And these are putting a finer point on those core things. Verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy." King James Version says, "Think on these things." New King James says, "Meditate on these things." Whether you're thinking or meditating, or just do both, these are the things we want to keep in front of our kids. Because if we leave them and put this on automatic pilot, don't think for one second that they'll just automatically pick this up. There's a lot out there going on, as I stated before. Because if you teach them these core values, we'll see evidence in their lives as they grow. You'll see fruit. You'll see fruits of the Spirit, like we see in Galatians 5. I'm sure none of you have ever heard this before, right? Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness." Are these good things to be teaching our kids? Are these core things that we should be teaching our kids? I would say so. Verse 23, "Gentleness, self-control." Little footnote on self-control. How are we going to teach our kids self-control if we don't know how to do it ourselves? If we don't practice self-control, how in the world can we teach our kids self-control? It goes on to say, "Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires." Now, this is some good stuff to teach teenagers, because they're going to be going through some things. "Crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." Living in the Spirit and walking in the Spirit. How does that happen? How does one do that? We can tell our kids, you need to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. And they're thinking, really? Well, how do I do that, Dad, Mom? Well, we talked about the teaching. Here comes the training part. Training, on the other hand, it builds life skills, practical application, competence. It develops working knowledge, not just information knowledge, working knowledge. That what that simply means is the things you taught them, they know how to implement. And how they know how to implement and to implement is because they see you doing it. That's the training. See, you don't realize that. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. I don't know. But we're training our kids no matter what. Remember when I read that scripture, train up the child in the way they should go? The training is automatic. But are we training them the way they should go? As Proverbs said. Because if our lives aren't going in a direction that it should be going, then we're not going to train the kids in the direction that they should be going. So what does that look like? Let's break it down a little bit. What does that look like, training up our kids? Well, there's a couple of things. One, do our kids see us pray? Not just over food either. Do our kids see us pray? There should be at some point, if it hasn't yet, or there should have been at some point, especially when you got little guys like James' age, and they get a little older, because that's what they do. Kids do that. They're going to bust into a room because they got something to say to you. But if you're in there praying, it needs to be reinforced in his life. But hang on, son. I'm talking to God right now. As a matter of fact, while I'm here, let me just drop this. When they're old enough to understand here in the church building, this should be taught to kids. Anytime somebody is praying here, this is something that I think we should do. This is part of training because kids are going to be kids. They got a whole lot on their mind. So when someone's praying, and here's how you talk, this is what I would do. You tell them, be quiet. Fold their little hands, help them bow their head, and let them know we're talking to God. And deliver to them in that manner so they know this is a reverent time. It is not to be messed with. That's part of that training. Do they see us studying? Same scenario. Mom, I got this. You're in there studying. Just a second, my child. Let me finish what I'm doing here, and I'll talk to you in a minute. So they understand and it's reinforced in their life that these times set aside matter and they're important because this is part of their training. Because they're going to see that. I grew up watching my dad and mom when they were studying. Now, that was a time that was important. And it was a time I couldn't mess with. There's an emergency, of course, but, certain things. Use a little wisdom. Number three, our calendars are talking to our kids. Whether it's written on the calendar or activities, it's talking to them. The question is, what is your calendar saying? Because what's on your calendar is the driving force that moves your life. It's the priorities in your life. And whatever those things are being done constantly, that's what your child is saying. That's important. The question is there again. How many spiritual things are on that calendar? Super Bowl Sunday. The game's on and it's a cliffhanger. Your team is 2 points ahead. You have a choice to make. What message am I going to send my child? Am I going to stay home and finish watching the game? Or am I going to say, okay, I'll figure it out sooner or later who won the game. But I'm going back to evening worship. These are all things that are part of training the children to teach them what's important. And we have these little forks in the road all throughout their lives that they see. They watch you. What are they going to do? He knows this is you're watching the game. The kid, they're watching you. They're like, you going to go back to church? Are you going to finish watching the game? When you see you get up getting dressed or getting ready, he got the message loud and clear. Well, I know what's important to Dad. I know what's important to Mom. Let me speed up here. This used to be important. What's on your TV screen? It's still kind of, because they see what you watch. Let's go to this next one. MCDs. Y'all know what MCDs are? Mind control devices. That's what this thing is. How much time do you allow your kids to be exposed to this MCD? Do you think you don't have to regulate that? Do you think you can just hand them a device and be done with it? Because if you don't regulate that, it will become a stronghold on your children. Swipe left. Swipe left, swipe left, scroll, 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 swipe left, swipe right, scroll, 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 swipe left, swipe right, swipe, scroll, scroll. That's all they do. It's going to become a stronghold on them. Remember what Peter said? Be sober and be vigilant, because our adversary is inside this MCD looking for your child so he can devour them. Because what comes through here is totally unregulated. You might as well be out there on the street with turn your 8-year-old out there and say, see you in a few days, son. It's completely unregulated. So the other thing is we have to make sure that we're not caught up in this. this mind control device. It's hard. I have to catch my, put that thing down. I walk away, and next you know it's in my hand again. I'm like, how did that thing get there? We just got to be a little more aware what these things can do. Our kids also want our presence more than our presence. You all follow me? They want our time more than our things that we can give them. Tell you a little story real quick, and then I'll wrap this up. There was a guy, he had like an eight-year-old kid, and he was invited to sit in the classroom. And so he's sitting in the classroom. He had a son in the class, and all his buddies are sitting there, a group of little boys, and they're all talking about their dads. And my dad's a CEO of this, and my dad's a fireman, and my dad's this, and my dad's that. And he's sitting there listening to this conversation these boys are having, and he's sitting there wondering, I wonder what my kid's going to say when it's his turn. So he's sitting there watching and listening. Excuse me. And when it got to his son, you know, my dad's a this, my dad's a that, my dad does this. His son said, my dad's here. And it got quiet. And all the other boys were a little envious of him because he had his dad right there. So tranny's not just our kids hearing what we say, but it's watching us, it's watching us live it, being put in action through generations. Real quick, talk about how we're going to help out the grandparents, help out the parents. Don't undermine. If you see them do something that's not cool with the kids, don't undermine. Pull them aside. I taught you better than that. Reinforce what they're teaching the kids. When you have a chance, you know what your parents have taught your kids is good stuff. You reinforce that as a grandparent. See, grandparents have a special relationship with the grandkids. I don't know where this comes from, but they can't stand us being not happy with them. You just give them a look and they're like, oh, sorry about that. They do not want us. They want our favor. So we have to take advantage of that. So when we're reinforcing what the parents are teaching them, that's the time to do it. We also want to edify our kids in front of their grandkids, letting them know that they're not as stupid as they think they are. Because our kids think their parents are stupid. So we, as grandparents, have to help erase that. And correcting. If you are seeing your grandchild disrespect their parent, you don't sit idly by and watch it happen. You have to get in there and do some correcting. Well, that's the lesson. The lesson is yours. Excuse me. We never want to leave here without giving an invitation. I'll go through this relatively quickly. Most of you are baptized believers here, and you already know what I'm going to say, but there may be some watching online that have never heard this. So I'm going to go through this real quick. To receive salvation, you need to hear the gospel. The gospel is simple this. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And so since we've all fallen short and the wages of sin is death, we must die. But instead of us dying, Jesus said, I'm going to do it for you. That's the gospel in a nutshell. Now, so that's how you receive salvation. Receive salvation, you got to hear the gospel. Romans 10:17, so then faith comes by hearing. Hebrews 11:6, you must, without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he who comes to God must believe that he is. Jesus said in John 8:34, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. You got to repent, Luke 13:30, 13:3. Unless you repent, you will perish. Acts 17:30, God said in times of ignorance, I kind of looked the other way, but now that the word is out, I command all men everywhere to repent. He said, confess, and the confession is, oh, not Lord, I'm a sinner. The confession is what that eunuch made in Acts 8:8. If you don't know what that is, that's your homework. Go look up Acts 8:8, read that whole chapter, you'll see what I'm talking about. The confession is that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Because he said, if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. If you deny me, I'll deny you. That's Matthew 10:32. And Mark 16:16 says, he that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So if you need to respond to the invitation in any way, if you have sin in your life and you find yourself a guilty distance away from God, you need to repent. If you need to be baptized, I don't know, I'm not going to presume anything. Or if you need prayer, then now's the time to do it as we stand and sing the invitation song.